say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that never finds human feet at the beach. There's enough in our robot's closet. This is Hysteria 51.
In my defense, I was left unsupervised.
Shame on me, I get it. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, I'm your host and lead foot fetishist. Nah, that seems wrong. But I'm your host this week, and John is lost once again somewhere in the plague lands. But you guys are in for a treat one more time. I'm not alone.
You are never alone. I'm here. Kyle is here.
Sup.
And so are all your demons, so yeah.
What's up, fool?
I have so many questions, but moving on because I'm not ready to deal with that right now. What I am getting at is we have another returning guest. This is another twofer. Welcome back, Mr. Kevin Christman.
His name is...
Kevin Christman.
Wow. You know, I only came back for the second week because I wanted to hear the bumper again. I love that bumper.
It's very bumping.
Yeah, it bumps. It's the reason, it's my greatest achievement.
You know, all your illegitimate children or no. This bumper.
I'd say bumper.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
I would say so. Kevin, what the hell have you been doing since last week?
Well, I keep knocking on the door here.
Mm-hmm. Peck as he's laying outside on the...
Yeah, well...
That always gets awkward.
I sometimes just kick him. That's just my sadistic streak, you know. What have I been doing since last week? I've been staying away from your fucking robots.
Yeah.
And
eating club crackers.
Love a good club cracker. That has all the vitamins that you need in order to get through the day.
That's Kellogg's club crackers. Mm-mm.
I didn't realize it was Kellogg's. How about that?
Yeah, you learned something new.
They taste good. You know, I've just been hanging around waiting to record again, man.
That's how I spend most of my life, just waiting.
Poor producer.
Waiting. Lisa. You know, we're talking about feet this week, and before we started off, poor producer Lee, if you want to see some feet, speaking of, she's F's. About 400 pairs of shoes. She has a walk-in shoe closet.
Are you serious?
I'm being serious. She has roughly 400 pairs of shoes.
Have we seen where she got all these
shoes? She always says, that's counting sandals! Like, somehow that doesn't count. She always, when I tell people that, she throws that in because those 13 pairs of sandals she has.
Those 13.
Yeah. Really trimmed down on that, the oh my God of that statement.
How often, I mean, are there shoes that she's not worn at all?
There are shoes that she's not worn and then bought a second pair of to not wear that are sitting next to it. If you look over in the booth, she's just frantically agreeing and
yeah. Not, I wouldn't even call it shame on her face, but just acceptance.
I mean, look, I have a room dedicated to Green Lantern.
Yes, you do.
I have an arcade in my basement and a full bar. I can't really be upset when she has 400 pairs of shoes, nor can she be upset when I buy the latest statue of Green Lantern, which she actually usually buys me, so I can't really complain.
You're still collecting, huh?
Oh, still. Yeah, that's kind of a life thing.
Mine's books, I guess, but...
Well, I have a lot of those too.
Yes, you do.
You have a lot of books. We've unfortunately ran out. And if you go in here, we're not in regular studio. We're at my house right now.
Yep.
We have boxes and boxes up in the attic up here.
Of books?
Oh my God! So her grandmother just sold her house, and she had a very extensive older book collection.
Okay.
A lot of first editions, and what I loved is she had a lot of books. Then she bought the Cliff Notes. And they're with them, and they're heavily noted.
She's taking notes and all that stuff?
And stuff.
What type of books are these? Novels?
Kurt Vonnegut.
Really?
Trying to think of who all. She had a lot of Isaac Asimov and every American play. She had a lot of Tennessee Williams and stuff like that. And then every American novel that was kind of important.
Catch 22.
She's got all of them.
Adventures of Volume March, Beloved.
And so it was just like, I kind of didn't expect that when I went in and we opened up and it was in the room and it's like, done? I'm like, oh my God. So she's like, well, I just don't want to, I don't have anywhere for them now because she moved into a condo. Uh-huh. And she's like, I'm like, I will take them. Thank you very much.
Now, have you taught any of your Green Lantern statues to read?
They, I believe, do that when I have my back turned. And I like
only
to
when you have
don't.
Your back
yeah.
turned. Yeah.
No, that's- I do have, though. The, I was speaking of Green Lantern real quick. The Starro the Conqueror is in the new Suicide Squad, and I have a giant Starro the Conqueror.
Did you make that character up just now?
I did not. He's a giant starfish.
He's a giant starfish? Yeah. Is he a bad guy?
Yeah. He spews out little pieces of himself that are starfish that get on your face and then control you. So, kind of like marriage.
Yeah. I have to ask one more thing before we get back into the topic. Is that his Tennessee State flag?
Tennessee State flag.
How about that?
Jeremy McFarland sent me that.
No kidding.
One of our listeners, he sent me that. This is Tennessee, and now you are a Tennessovian.
I'm a Tennessovian. That's exactly what we call it. We are Tennessovians. It is, you think it's humid here.
Whew. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it gets hot. We're, and they have hills and stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
Who would have known? I never seen one of those before.
No, it's not all it's
I did grow up in a town called Pleasant Plains.
Yes. And not false advertising.
No.
It's rather pleasant.
Nope. You can look right across it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, you know, the whole shoe thing, what's your go-to shoe? That's an important distinction we'll find out in this story. What's your, like, your everyday go-to shoe?
So, I call them tennis shoes.
Yep.
Now, I grew up in Central Illinois, as did you, in Pleasant Plains. Mm-hmm. I call them tennis shoes. A lot of people call them sneakers.
Tennis shoes, sneakers, or runners.
Runners,
shoes.
I've heard that. I'm not sneaking anywhere. And
sneakers, so, weird late 80s, early 90s movie Dan with Aykroyd, Dan Aykroyd.
Robert Redford.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I wear tennis shoes mainly, like, all the time. That's my jam. And then I have dress shoes for the nice occasions, like when they unveil a new starfish in the Green Lantern universe.
That's Starro the Conqueror.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got a couple pair of tennis shoes, and then I have my dress shoes.
Right?
If I'm just running around, I'm wearing sandals or around the house. Then I have my boat shoes for when we go to
yachting.
Well, we go to a lot of resorts and all inclusive, and you have to have closed toed shoes, but you can still wear shorts to go to, like, dinners and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Throw on those boat shoes, and when we go boating, I just had to wear them. We just went boating a couple weeks ago. You gotta have boat shoes.
Do you get seasick at all?
No. No,
boy, I sure do.
I've gotten seasick once in my life. We were on a whale watching tour and it was freezing.
Ooh.
And I went down into, like, the underside into the boat.
Uh-huh.
And the guy next to me just pukes all over the place. And it turned my stomach. And then, like, I got, like, motion sickness because I'm, like, in the back, like, you know.
Oh, God.
And that was the only time. So since then, we went and bought, like, Dramamine, and I've never used it.
Never
used.
Well, and, probably because you're not around people vomiting everywhere.
It was funny, though. I was so worried that I was going to start getting seasick, and no, I think I'm just, you
Did
know,
you have
vomiting.
Your boat shoes on then?
Thankfully, no.
Yeah, you don't want to puke on those.
No.
And that was in Pleasant Plains, I imagine. A lot of whales around there.
Lots of, mostly blue whales in the south shores of the plains. Well, depending on the time of year.
Okay, so I think you're saying you got some tennis shoes, you wear some sandals.
Yeah, that's me.
And then, yeah.
This whole thing, we're going to find out, it evolves kind of around shoes, but it's got to be weird. You know, you're looking out, you're walking onto a beach somewhere, and it's like, is that a fish? Maybe some trash? It's just a fucking human foot in a running shoe or a tennis shoe or a sneaker or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Let me just back up for a second. An actual foot that has been severed at the ankle.
Yeah, you're there doing your morning walk.
Yeah.
Clearing your head.
Yeah.
Trying to get over last night's kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle? Is it ker or ka?
I think it's ker.
And then we'll go to the tapes.
Okay.
It sounds like this one-off terrible accident or just this huge... I mean, what are the chances of finding it? But it sure as hell isn't. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
Today, Kevin, at least 21 human feet, at least 21, have washed up on the shores of the Salish Sea. Now, the Salish Sea is the Pacific Northwest. You're talking to the USA, Canada, that whole water area.
Do we call Alaska, or is that
too far north? That's too far north. Okay. And the other thing about this that I loved is the distinction they always say, at least 21 human feet. because I love that they need to throw that into the
and then with an asterisk and 3 duck feet.
Well, they have had some fakers that have put like animal feet into shoes and
really
put them, or me. Oh yeah. So there is some asterisks in this, and we'll get into that. But the thing I love about this is when they were going into this. And it was making the rounds. They were like, is this some crazy murder for hire scheme? Uh-huh. Maybe human trafficking? Maybe like mobster shit going on up there?
Right.
Or, and this was something they looked into, could a serial killer with a weird like foot fetish be on the loose? Kind of like this is their calling card. They're leaving it. And maybe no one was the wiser. Or could it be more mundane and there's a scientific answer to all these feet
washing? No, nobody wants the mundane part. Boo.
Guess what show you're listening to?
Oh, shit.
The Wacky Fun Time Hour. There's no science here. So we're going to try to answer this week. We're going to break down what's going on with this and talk about some. So, you know, toes crossed. See what I did there? We're going to get to the bottom of it. Kevin, though, before we go to break, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Feet out. What is the worst body part? You're walking by the sea. What's the worst body part to see washed up?
I don't want to see a human head.
Yeah. That's where my mind went to. Yeah,
I do not want to see a head. I don't want to see any of this, to be clear, but if you're going to say worst.
What part do you want to see? Yeah.
The left elbow. if I saw a human head, I would become very upset. I think I just quoted Wayne's World. If it's a severed head, I'll be very upset.
So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk this whole story, where it began and where we're at in the saga of the foot fetishes of the Salish Sea. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. The foot tide. There we go. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, It all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You know, every good story, especially ones that involve feet, they got a beginning. Well, I guess every story's got a beginning. Just the feet ones really have a beginning.
The deep beginning.
So this is not a, it's not a only modern thing, but this is really ramped up in modern times.
Okay.
The first discovery in quote unquote modern times goes back to August 20th of 2007 on Jedediah Island in British Columbia. So that is our neighbors to the north.
The Canadians.
Yeah. It's not new to the area, like I said, but the frequency is. One of the first documented findings of a foot was found in that area, washed up in Vancouver in 1887, literally leading to the place of discovery where they found it being called Leg and Boot Square.
All right, so I got to take some issue with this. Leg and Boot Square, just the most literal thing ever, right? What if they walked up and there was just a dead mouse in shoebox? Dead mouse in shoebox square?
I hear the sailors are in town and they're headed to Penis and Mouth Emporium. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a...
Take a left at Leg and Boot Square.
You gotta understand, it was a simpler time.
Well,
and they're Canadian.
They are Canadian.
Well, no. Now I'm gonna get emails. I was just kidding.
I didn't mean that either.
Then on July 30th of 1914, the Vancouver Sun reported recent arrivals from the Kimsquit. I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
They reported of a human leg encased in a high boot was found on a beach near the mouth of the Salmon River, previous name for the Dean River near Kimsquit, near the headwater of Dean Channel. For those playing along, I put all that in there because I read this in a couple different areas and they brought all that out. So I figured if you're from that area, that's probably important to you.
Right. Like Dean Cain, I think, is from there.
It was his leg.
Yeah. No.
That one was thought to be remains of a man who had drowned in the river the previous summer. So that one, you know, it was a little bit older and they kind of figured out what was going on. Of recent, though, in British Columbia alone on the BC side, 13 of the 15 feet that they've washed up in that area have been identified. So the feet that are coming in, they can do DNA testing on them and they'll be like, oh, that's Ted.
It's Ted's foot.
Ted's dead, and that's his foot.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say they had dental records of the feet, and they identified them that way.
That's a different fetish, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The two unidentified feet, we were talking about 13 of the 15 were identified, they were found in February of 2016, washed up on the shore of Botanical Beach on the west coast of Vancouver Island, adjacent to the Strait of Juan de Fuca? Fuca?
I like Juan de Fuca.
Juan de Fuca.
Juan de Fuca.
Yeah, Juan de Fuca. But this leads us to realize that maybe there's not as crazy a story going on as it seems at the surface.
That was just a bad joke, even by my standards.
That probably was a bad joke. As the feet start to show up, I said they're doing DNA tests. They're testing this shit. They're figuring out what's going on. They realized that they were from people who were mostly missing from known accidents. This isn't like, oh, so-and-so has been missing for months and then their foot was found, it would be like, oh, Ted was boating. He got hit by one of the sails, fell off, and then we found a piece of him months later when they knew he had drowned.
But it's only in this Vancouver area that this mainly happens.
Where this is happening at.
Yeah.
Okay. And that has to do, they think, a lot with, and we'll find out why, not with the reasoning of that, but why that happens, just with the tides and the way they work and stuff, and it brings stuff in. The other thing that's kind of crazy, they've had pairs of feet wash up, like both.
Together?
Yeah, one belonged to a woman who jumped from a bridge. They knew she committed suicide. One belonged to a fisherman, and one was another guy who was depressed, and they believed that he committed suicide. His parents, they requested that his name and all the stories not be released, but he was missing, but they're like, he went off to kill himself. After these feet keep washing up, though, the story begun to receive international media attention, and I think that's pretty easy to understand why feet keep
Keep washing. When you first told me about this, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I know, you're like, let's do a topic, and you're like, what do you got in mind? And I like threw some stuff out, and you go, feet.
Yeah, let's do the feet one. There's no particular reason I said that.
No. No, nothing, no reasoning at all. Why are you twitching? They had headlines out from Australia, South Africa. I mean, they were being talked about all over the planet. And also, this whole morbid curiosity, I think, fills into that. And they were talking about the mystery of originating from our own morbid fascination with shit of this type. That's why this show exists.
Yeah.
That's why there's murder porn on Investigation Discovery.
24 hours a day, buddy. There's a lot of that
shit. Dateline, but six a time for the porn, the murder porn lovers. Hell, Letterman even made jokes about this shit when Letterman was kind of had his finger on the pulse of all things foot fetish. So, I mean, it just makes sense.
It does make sense. Starting back in 1982, you know, right there.
Kevin, why are we so fascinated with the macabre?
I think we're fascinated with it because we're all scared of death.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a way to have a safe distance and focus on and study death, for lack of a better term, but be safe about it.
It's such an interesting thing. As we're recording now in Chicago, right now is the Oddities and Curiosities Expo at the McCormick Center downtown.
Oh, I have a good friend who's going to that.
It sounds really fun. We had plans, or I'd be there right now. The funny thing about it is $10 to get in, but if you pay $200,
well, that's quite a jump.
You get your entrance fee and a class with all the materials to make your own jackalope.
What?
Yeah, it's a taxidermy class. You make a jackalope. They give you the bunny, the antlers that are real antlers, everything, and you put it together. I was like, man, that actually would be almost worth the $200 for the story of I put this together.
So a jackalope is $190, and then the $10 is
That's, it's, you know, it's a bargain.
Yeah.
As we say,
bargain basement price. What biz? The Oddities?
The Oddities Expo.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's a booming business.
I'm not making fun of this. I actually really would. I know there's probably a lot of taxidermy in this place, but I actually think that would be a lot of fun.
Can I ask you anything else that you know of that would be there besides taxidermy?
You may not. Okay. No, there's a lot of art, jewelry, stuff like that.
Okay.
A lot of things with tentacles. Be it the art or the rings, and
that made me shiver.
What else was there? There was these old, I saw one guy had these kits of it's put together to look like old vampire hunting kit. You know, you open it up.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
There's the stake
and the Bible.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is a lot of this stuff is kind of higher end, like it's art.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to pay real cheap prices for it, but I think that just, what I'm saying this all is, it goes into the fascination that we have as humans with death and the weird and things like that.
Yeah, and it's another thing. I've been thinking lately, I need a hobby. I don't really have a hobby.
Is it have to do with taxidermy?
No, that one doesn't, but maybe if I can make high-end steaks.
Yeah?
To kill vampires.
Real
that might be something.
End,
to,
like, I mean, like just lathe-turned steaks.
In my apartment in Tennessee, just
there's
get a
no
lathe.
Whittling on these ones. These are lathe turns.
Well, it is Tennessee. You kind of have to whittle.
Yeah, well, yeah. Whistle while you whittle, too.
Yeah.
That's a niche market. I bet Etsy would be your first place.
It's just fascinating to me because I think that's, I would never think to be into that, but I think it's really cool that people have that as something they're passionate about.
I do have in my rider.
Yes.
I don't call it my will, but I call it my rider for when I die, that I have to be staked just in case.
Well,
it's better for everyone else.
It is really better. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for looking out for the rest of us, man, to just let us, that one extra insurance policy.
There's still those graves out there that you can go from way back a couple hundred years ago that had like the iron cages over them. And that was probably because they were a redhead, so they were worried that they might be a vampire.
Actually, man.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
My mom's a redhead, and we're not even worried about her anymore. We just know she's a vampire.
Well, speaking about the world of the weird and the macabre and making your own jackalope, people started making their own fake feet. They were putting cattle bones and dog feet and with meat and stuff into.
Did they have skin on it?
Well, yeah, like they go to a butcher and things like that and try to fake it and release it to trick people into thinking they were finding feet. And now there are pictures of it. You can see it like whole bones of like the, you know, the sticking out. It's interesting.
Now we're talking about a hobby I'd be into.
Animal feet and running shoes. That just sounds, it screams you.
That also sounds like a band that Pitchfork would like.
Animal feet and running shoes. I saw them open for Striper.
I was talking about Striper last night.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's scary. Remember when we said serial killers? Speaking of scary, the police took that as a serious possibility, and I think you have to in a situation like this.
No doubt.
It was after the fifth foot was found that the press started to take note, and CSI Vancouver, where are all the floating feet coming from, was a headline from the Bloomberg Business Newswire.
Wow.
A lot of these things are like, why aren't they on top of this? Why aren't they figuring it out? Another one, mystery deepens as fifth human foot lands. Well, that's from the Melbourne Herald Sun. Melbourne, Australia. Cape Times South Africa called it 5 foot riddle.
Why didn't this start at 4 feet or 6 feet? What was it with five? Is it like 5 golden feet?
You know, how many times? I can't even count how many times I found 4 feet.
Yeah.
Fifth one just makes it weird.
Did you call the news?
No.
Of course you didn't call the news.
If you're peckish, you take care of yourself. If not, you leave it for the next guy.
Damn straight.
That's just the way it goes. Here's another one. There's worry and concern that maybe there's a madman on the loose. That's from Fox News.
Oh, Fox News put that one up.
Weird things happen in the water, said Dick Hammond, the writer and retired beachcomber from Gibson's, British Columbia. But to have this many parts in the small area, it's going to get the imagination working. And I think that's important, too, because it does. People start thinking, what the fuck's really going on?
Yeah, I mean, and you referred to it earlier. Is it a killer? Is it the mafia? Is it, you know, and were we able to get Mr. Hammond on the show?
Yeah. Dick, do you want to say anything? He's shy, turns out. So. But I'm glad that we brought him in and fed him lunch. So we'll see if we can get him on here. Usually you'd expect to find some other parts, too. That's a quote from Carleton University biologist George Carmody, Carmody. I think I'm saying that right. Here's the next quote. You often hear of criminal activity where they cut hands off to prevent identification through fingerprints, but they haven't been showing up, have they? He questions us. That certainly sparks interest and imagination and wondering about just what in the hell is going on when the university biologist is using the H-E double hockey stick word. Yeah. By God, we're getting serious here.
Yeah.
So what the hell is going on? We're going to tell you probably. We're going to tell you what we think, and then that's probably what's going on. We'll figure that out. That's after the break on Hysteria 51.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I warned you. it's time to enter the science. Science to the rescue or to the ruining of a good story. And I think that it depends. If you're Neil deGrasse Tyson, you can take a shit on anything fun and just make it not so much
fun. As long as you got that stupid tie on.
He's a chode.
You know, they used to be jacked and like a wrestler in college. He was
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Was yoked and was
really?
A collegiate wrestler.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that science that brings up is the important part that they bring up and why they think they've figured this out is decomposition. Decomp is known when you have the human body to separate the foot from the body because the ankle is one of the weak spots. It's a very pliable joint and there's not a lot of stuff, you know, holding it on.
Yeah.
Then you compound that with being in water, the buoyancy caused by air either trapped inside the shoe or the actual body part itself. Then you have small creatures that are feasting and they go for the soft spots first, like where joints go together.
Yeah.
So they know this because, and this is kind of cool or interesting, they do those body farms. Have you ever seen those where they take like human bodies and they put them out in the woods and they let them decompose and they study them?
I've not seen this.
It's crazy. You can't tour them, but you can go. If you Google it, they'll go. And it's universities are working with the FBI and other criminal investigation units. And they literally, if you leave your body to science, some of them you just get put out in the woods. And they literally let it rot. They'll put it in water. They'll put it in under a tree. They'll bury it a little bit. They'll bury it under into a shallow grave. And they test it and see.
See what the animals are doing.
See what the maggots do, what the flies do, what the animals. Now, a lot of them are shielded so the animals can't get to it. Uh-huh. But that shielding only keeps animals out. It doesn't keep insects. And it also doesn't keep the air and stuff like that so it can still.
And they just want to know how the earth is and the creatures of the earth
are
reacting.
So now they can know that if they find a body, they'll know by the larvae how long it's been dead.
That makes sense.
Or what decomp it is in. Well, it couldn't have been sitting out this long. It had to have been buried for a while because it would be different than this. What I'm getting at is they do the same thing in water. And they do it with pigs and things like that. They put them in these...
Pig's
like
feet.
A tray of a whole pig carcass, like just a kill pig, put it on this thing, they put it in water, and they see how it decomposes. And they do it for science, and it's a really...
And for kicks.
Crazy. It's more of a just a, you won't do that. It's, I will.
Yeah, I told you.
What am I going to do with all these dead pigs? It's crazy how, though, when you look at this, they're talking about this, the buoyancy of, you know, the foot, how easy it breaks off, stuff like that. It's like a comedy of errors, or at least dumb luck can cause this to happen. And according to Simon Fraser University entomologist Gail Anderson, the extremities such as the hands, feet, and head often detach as a body decomposes in the water, although they rarely float. That's the important part. You're not going to find a head usually because the head weighs a lot and it's going to go down. Lots of testing has been done, like we said, through all this decomp, through those body farms. Now, the tie that binds with all of these, or almost all, not those old boot ones from the 1800s where they only have like one or two of them. The tie that binds is the sneakers or tennis shoes or whatever you want to call them. So the real culprit that they've found out, that these scientists found out, is the shoe industry. Dun, dun, dun.
Big shoe.
Yeah, always. This is a quote here. We pretty much think we know what's happening in every case. This is from coroner Barb McClintock, and that's a quote to the National Post when Moore defeated Washup in 2016. She said, there's none that have any suggestions of homicide. In every case, there's an alternative, very reasonable explanation. She said, when a body... from an accident or suicide is out at sea and sinks to the bottom of the ocean, it's quickly set upon by scavengers. Scavengers like crustaceans are lazy feeders. This is kind of what I was saying earlier, and they will feed. They like to tackle the softer parts of the body, and the tough gristly bits, you know, are easier to get through than like hard chunks of meat. And they come apart easier when you start biting through tendons. Foot will detach pretty quickly before any other major decomp even happens. It's set in. The body's barely even falling apart and the foot will come off. That's just the way it does.
Uh-huh.
Bodies go down, but the feet become detached and then enter the sneakers. over the last few decades, they've been made of this lighter foam material, and a lot of them have air pockets in the soles. They become a raft, and you literally have your foot that is detached in a foam air pocket that lifts it to the surface, and it starts floating. And she said it really didn't come up until we had running shoes that floated so well. Before, they just stayed down at the bottom of the ocean. Now they lift up and they come inside.
Man, if I've said it once, I've said it a thousand fucking times. Phil Knight is ruining everything.
I can't tell you how many times I've just been out to dinner or taking a lazy Sunday bath, and you in a fever pitched call and just like, Phil Knight's ruining everything. Click.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Lisa, he did it again.
Well, and then Lisa says from the other room, maybe there's something to this Phil Knight thing.
Bring me my thinking shoes. What do you think? Do you think it's a comedy of errors that is causing this? Or is it really just a serial killer and he's got the big coroner industry on his side?
Yeah. Fucking big shoe, big coroner. You said something about the tides and the way the tides work there, that this is why it's always showing up around there. Because I know, like, for example,
it's a bowl, so it's easier to come in and wash into a shore than, like, if it was out on the East Coast where there's less likely to be washed in. You have the big ports and things there, and so the way the tides work, because of the sea and the waters being colder, so they will also hold the decomp longer, or it doesn't fall apart as fast.
Okay.
So that's another thing that all ties into this.
Yeah, I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say science was right again, probably.
Yeah, well.
I was hoping it was a serial killer. Not really.
I was really hoping for murder.
I was watching Investigative Discovery.
Just feverishly masturbating is normal. They had a whole episode of South Park on that where it's like, Mom and Dad are watching murder porn.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh,
that's where the
great
murder porn came from. Oh. It's like, ID. And he's like, oh, yeah, Sheila. Oh, they found out both of them are dead. Oh, yeah. that's kind of it almost feels like they put a pin in it, you know, just like we're done with this. And that's why it started happening. He just took his shoe off.
I took my shoe off. I'm seeing if it can float.
Yeah, if you want to make sure that no one finds your handiwork, you pop those air pockets and take the shoes off when you're depositing your bodies in the water.
Yeah.
No, I was more talking to the murderers out there, and you took it as a you before I jump you.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know if you know about my other show.
Jumping in the water hour with with Floaty McKevin. Nation, that's kind of a really often requested episode that is kind of has a mundane explanation that I didn't know until I really dove into this.
I was so, going back to what we said about the macabre, and when you first said it to me, I was so fascinated by this idea that feet are washing up on the shore. And I was like, I didn't think, well, there must be a scientific explanation for this.
I think a more important thing to talk about in this episode would have been how macabre does not look like it should be pronounced macabre.
No, why is that R there?
Macabre!
Brah.
You know, I love to talk about the macabre. Ruh. You're my candelabra. It's not funny. It's just a truth.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think, Nation? How can you tell us? Well, hop on Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. That's our Facebook discussion group. You can talk about all things floating. Floater, why? We all float down here. I don't know. You can tell us if you really think the science has solved this, or if there's something more sinister afoot. See what I did there?
This is my last show, right?
Or, like, if we've missed anything on this, I'd love to hear it. Also, while you're on Facebook, look up facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That is our regular page. Tag Kevin and everything. He loves it. Just @Kevin. @Kevin.
Don't.
Not even this Kevin. All Kevins.
The world?
Yeah, just put them in there.
Kevin Klein. Kevin Costner.
Well, you know a lot of Kevins. Yeah. Patreon. Patreon.com/hysteria51. You can find Up All Nights, Mad Blurry Hysterias, radio dramas. You can hear John rap. That's
Excuse
true.
Me?
Yeah, he back. You remember when you used to go to when you go to like Six Flags and they had a You Could Be a Star.
Yeah.
You gotta, so he did Regulators. Regulators, Mount Up.
He did that rap?
He rapped it. And then, thank God, I don't know why, I brought that up one time. We were talking about it. And I'm like, do you still have that? And he's like, yeah. I go, can we convert it to digital and put it on there? He goes, I don't care. And I almost kissed him. I was like, because that's just, the world needs that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sad that he's in the Plague Lands.
Do you expect him to not be in the Plague Lands?
Well, it is late summer.
Does any of this make sense? Absolutely not. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277. If you forget any of this, you can go to hysteria51.com. Kevin,
yo,
tell them where they can find you, what you got going on. All that good jazz.
Where they can find... boy, I don't have much going on. I still have... if you want to check out my show, Sad Times, that Brent helped me produce a number of episodes, I'd like to bring it back one of these days. It's a show where we have people on. We talk about... you know, all the tough times in life, how we reacted and what the people around us did, and so that we can be a little more open about the struggles that we have.
Yeah.
So there's that. And, you know, I'm just monitoring my Facebook page, hoping not to get added. Is it added? Is that
added?
Added.
Not added, but
not added. Added.
That's a hard, that's a
you know what it needs?
Write than to
it
say.
Needs an R, like macabre.
Added.
Yeah, don't add a roar for me.
Theater. You always know a theater major if they spell theater.
R-E, R-E. Baby.
Yeah, R-E all yeah. day. All right, kids, that's been our thoughts on salty foot fetishes, I think is the best way to put it. With that said, I'm Brent.
I've been Kevin.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.